sometimes we want a Savior. We want to be saved, but we don't want anything in our lives to change. We don't want to be told how to live our lives. We don't want a Lord. But Jesus came to be the King of Kings. He came to be the Lord of Lords. It takes a relationship to submit your life to Jesus Christ. And we must live in Him.
Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but what we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself.
Well, we're doing a series in 1 John, and how many of you have ever sold insurance? Do we have any? We got one? Any? Two? Okay. Well, when I think of insurance, I sometimes think of like the guy that's going to be on the thing here. Maybe he'll be. We've got gremlins today. There he is. I remember a insurance salesman that came to our house when I was in elementary school. And I came home from school, and Mom and Dad were sitting at the table. And the insurance salesman was talking to them very intently about insurance. And he took one look at me, and he said, "Boy, he's a Thuvanin through and through." And I kind of chuckled. My parents chuckled because that meant I looked like my stepfather. Okay. Now, he didn't know that I was a stepchild. And it was a good way to make a sale, I guess. And I considered it a compliment because my stepfather was a wonderful man. And I absolutely loved my stepfather dearly. He meant the world to me. Well, I know that I'm a child of God, too. And I know that God has called us to be His children. And that's my first point. We are God's children. Isn't that a great thing? We are God's children. Now, we learn a lot about God's children from the Apostle Paul. So, Paul says in Ephesians 1, 4 through 5, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will." I love that. Because in love, I was chosen and adopted. Well, that's kind of special to me. That God would love me so much and love you so much that He would adopt you. That meant a lot to me. God chose us, He adopted us because He had a plan. And His plan would be that we would become sons through Jesus Christ, just like He had wanted all along. I love that plan, and it excites me to know that I'm a child of God. Well, in Galatians 4:7, Paul also said something. He said, "You are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir." Now that's even better. Do you know that? We're not only a child of God, I'm not only a son, but because I'm a son, I'm also an heir. That means I am going to get some great things. Imagine being an heir to the riches of God. And you are. There was a song I used to sing when I was a kid, and you probably will remember it. It went, "He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He owns the rivers and the rocks and rills, the sun and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongues can tell. These are my father's, so they're mine as well. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know that he will care for me." The riches of God is our inheritance. Being sons makes us heirs. And ladies, you're not second rate. You know, the Bible says in Galatians, when it comes to salvation, there is no difference between male and female. God has broken that barrier down. And you too are sons of God. You receive that blessing. Now, he said that we are no longer a slave, but a son. That's good. Romans 8:14 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Now, that's important that we understand what that means. Because by the Spirit of God, we are sons. We must be led by God's Holy Spirit. To be led by God's Spirit means that God controls our life. He's in control. We live the way God wants us to live. Just like our genes makes us what we are in our families. And you can kind of tell that, can't you? You can say, boy, you can tell they're related. They look alike. Must be in the genes. Okay? Just like it's the genes, God's Spirit in us makes us like him. We look like him spiritually. We act like him spiritually. Listen to Jesus, though, as he spoke to the religious leaders of his day. They would not accept him as Son of God. They hated him, and they planned to kill him. And listen, in John 8:42 through 47, he says this. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Boy, Jesus was right to the point, wasn't he? He was very frank. And so from Jesus, we learn these things. That one, if God were your father, you would love me, number one. You would love me. Number two, you belong to your father, the devil. Because you're doing the acts that Satan would do. They didn't act like God. They were hating. They were plotting to kill him, just like Satan would do. They were acting like the devil. Second thing that we need to truly understand in this passage of Scripture is that Jesus is pivotal to our belonging to the Father. Truly is. Throughout this letter of John's, John seems to stress the point that without Jesus Christ, we are not the sons of God. Do we understand that? that Jesus is the most important piece of the puzzle when it comes to our relationship with God. We need Him. We must have Him. And Jesus is the most important piece of the puzzle when it comes to others understanding us. You know that? In 1 John 3:1, He said, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are, not will be. We are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Plain and simple. In 1 John 3:1, the world doesn't know us because they did not know Him. They didn't know Him. Jesus told us that the world would hate us. He told us that the world would persecute us, because that's exactly what they did to Jesus. Now, God wants to have this relationship with us. And this is Palm Sunday, you know? This is a Sunday where we celebrate the time when Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey as a king would. This is the time we celebrate the king going into Jerusalem. The crowd shouting, "Hosannas! Hosanna to Jesus!" They proclaimed Him as their king. They threw their coats and their palm branches before Him, and they praised Him. But we need to look at this event very closely. And Luke gives us insight that many of the other Gospels do not. So Luke 19:35 through 40 says this. They brought it, being the colt, to Jesus. And they threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As He went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When they came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," He replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Now, the point that I want you to really notice in this passage is this, that they praise God for what reason? For the miracles they had seen. Did they praise God for Jesus? They praise God for the miracles. You see, what they wanted was a miracle king. They wanted a king that could feed them, like in the wilderness when God fed the people, or on the Mount, Sermon on the Mount, when the 5,000 were fed. A king that would perform miracles for them. A king that wouldn't demand anything from them. A king that they would demand from. Miracles. You see, secondly, they really didn't want Jesus. They didn't want Him. And it's easy to look back in that and say, my, how difficult they were. Later they would yell, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" The spiritual leaders would stand up and say, "We have no king but Caesar." Now, we call this event the triumphal entry. But when you look at this event, it makes Jesus cry. And the Bible says He wept over Jerusalem. You see, they wanted a Savior, but not a Lord. They wanted someone to save them, but they didn't want someone to demand anything from them. And Lord meant that Jesus would control their lives. You know, sometimes we're the same, aren't we? I mean, before we get onto them too hard and we say, "Yeah, bad people, terrible thing," Sometimes we want a Savior. We want to be saved, but we don't want anything in our lives to change. We don't want to be told how to live our lives. We don't want a Lord. But Jesus came to be the King of Kings. He came to be the Lord of Lords. It takes a relationship to submit your life to Jesus Christ. And we must live in Him. And He must live in us. We must live by His rules, submit to His way of life. And I want to look at living in Him a second. My third point. I'm glad Melody's here. She's still in here? Nope, she had to go. The baby was... Okay. Well, it's an interesting story with Melody. You know, a number of years ago, Melody lived in the apartment that's attached to our house. Okay? And she had a dog. And we heard the dog barking and barking and barking one Saturday morning, just carrying on and on and on. And soon our phone rang, and so we answered our phone, and she said, "Can you come over here?" I said, "Okay, all right." We came over, dog was standing by the French doors that we had, okay? And as he's standing there at the door, he's just barking his head off. I thought, "What is wrong with that dog?" We opened up the drapes, and there was a huge snapping turtle. Huge thing. This turtle was big. And you know that there were scrapes on his shell. I mean, he had been in some battles in his life. And apparently he had crawled out of our pond after he probably ate some fish. Okay? And I say it, you know, it was, I don't know if it was a boy or girl. I didn't ask it, okay? I don't know. But when we went outside, whoom, it went inside its shell. I couldn't believe it. Now, I'd tap a little bit on it, and then its head would come out, and, rah! And I'd jump about 10 feet, okay? Later, I went out, and it was gone. Gone completely. I thought a lot about that turtle. Not that I would eat it, although we did try to catch it to eat it. I thought about, I want to live in Christ. Just like that turtle lives in its shell. That shell is as much a part of that turtle. You separate that turtle from its shell, it dies. I mean, it can't live without it. Its shell. Everywhere that shell goes, the turtle goes. Or everywhere the turtle goes, the shell goes. The shell will protect it. If I ever tear it away, the turtle will die. The shell will grow with the turtle. They don't shed their shells. And you know, when Christ comes again, I want to be found in Him. I want to look just like that turtle, only Christ is all around me and all through me, and I'm part of Him and He's part of me. The Bible says that at the end of John's chapter here in chapter 2, "And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him." How beautiful that is. Hey, I want to be confident and unashamed. Jesus comes, I want to hold my head up. I want to know that He has forgiven me. I want to know that He has covered me, and I want to know that I'm living for Him, unashamedly. When Christ returns for His children, will you be ashamed? If we live for Him, if we're doing the things of God, then we will be confident and unashamed. Also, everyone who does what is right is born of him. Because God is right. He is righteous. I want to be born again. Let the Word of God and His Holy Spirit change me from within. And His Word and His Spirit can transform you. Jesus said this in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I look at that little turtle, big turtle, and say, apart from that shell, he can do nothing but die. Well, my biological mother used to tell me this, Mark, your dad gave you something. I don't want you to forget it. Your dad gave you your last name. Keep it clean. Keep it pure. Don't tarnish it. And I realized that I became a child of God. I was adopted. And I became a Christian. I bear that name. I was adopted. I became the child of God. And when Jesus comes again, I do not want to tarnish the name of Christian. May God give us the strength and the power to live in Him, to walk with Him, and that His power may strengthen us and change us so that we can do the will of the Father.
Thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We hope that you will join us for worship at Beechwood Christian Church, located at 12950 Easton Street, Northeast, in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on the website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. Our Bible study begins at 9:30 a.m. Sundays, and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning. Please join us, and once again, thank you for listening. May God bless you and your family. May we look for the coming of the King. Come, Lord Jesus.